Bereishis chapter 46. Chapter begins a new chapter, not only a new chapter in the numbering of the chapters. Here I happen to agree with the beginning place where this chapter cuts and begins a new chapter. The ending is more questionable in my eyes. But the beginning of chapter 46 seems to be a new chapter, and it's also, I think, an entirely new part in the whole story here. In other words, we had, if we divide the story from the beginning of Tell this Yaakov Yosef, the story that has its header, Ella Tell this Yaakov, talks about Yosef, talks about Yehuda a little, but leads up all the way to this moment after Yosef and his brothers met again in Mitzrayim, Yosef as the king, and then Yosef calling his father back down to Mitzrayim, sending him the wagon, sending him ways to come back. Now we start a new story, which is a continuation of that story. In other words, in some sense, it's Yaakov going down, going to Mitzrayim to meet Yosef again. So it's the full turning of the full circle of the story, which began with Yaakov sending Yosef away to see the well-being of his brother, Shleim Achecha, and losing him, and being really sad about losing him, and saying that his life is not a good life. He will die sadly. He will die in his mourning, go down to Sheol, and having that all resolved in this chapter. In another sense, and maybe in a more important sense, or maybe we could read the whole story as leading up to this sense, this is the continuation of the travels of Yaakov, which is in some way a continuation of the travels of the Oves, and the first step in the great story of Metzias Mitzrayim, which is the story of Sefer Shemois. So, in Sefer Bereishis, we have the travels of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They all traveled. Avram started off in Ur Kasdim and Haran, and then Yitzchak not traveling really, and then Yaakov traveling out to Aram Naraim, to Lavan, and getting back. And now we have the last travel of Yaakov, which is traveling down to Mitzrayim, which will end up leaving or moving the entire family called Bnei Yisrael to Mitzrayim, from which they will have to be saved later in the Exodus and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we could see this as the beginning of a whole new part of the whole story of Bereshis, which is the story of the Oves, the story of how this family got to where it is. And if you read the style and the framing of this chapter, you see it as separating itself in some sense from the whole story of Yosef. Or we could say that the story of Yosef is in some sense just the lead up to explain how this happened, how Yaakov and his children and his family found themselves in Egypt. So we have the beginning like this. We have the first story, and you could say the first step of Yaakov on the way to Egypt, but it's really a lot more significant than that, is Vayisa Yisrael v'chalash. Someone should figure out why sometimes it says Yisrael and sometimes Yaakov. I don't have a very clear explanation for this. But Yisrael and all that belongs to him, everything that is his, travels. And this verb Vayisa is an important verb, I think. It's not the same verb as it was used before. For example, when I talked about Yosef or his brothers going down to Mitzrayim, we had the verb vayered, yirida. They went down, but we didn't have the verb vayisa. The verb vayisa seems to signify something more serious, or something like he moved, right? It's not like he traveled, but he moved. He moved along with everything that belonged to him. So in like a whole camp, they set up a whole camp. And also the term vayisa is used often in Tanakh for a military camp. So they're traveling like a camp, like that's moving a family from one place to the other. And the first place that comes is to Be'er Sheva. When he's in Be'er Sheva, he sacrifices Ve'yizbach Zvochem to the God of his father Yitzchak. I think that the most simple meaning of this pasuk, of this formulation is Yitzchak, we know, lived in Be'er Sheva. Remember when Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, the big story of Yaakov, first Yaakov's travel, which was to Haran, to Aram Naraim, was from Be'er Sheva, Ve'yetz Yaakov Be'er Sheva. And in some sense, this is him completing that circle. It's the only time he finally went back, because when he came back to Eretz Canaan before, he went back to Hebron, which is where Avraham he met Yitzchak apparently. But now he's going back to Be'er Sheva, and over there's maybe not Yitzchak, but there is a Lehayah of Yitzchak. And I assume that that means that there was some Mizbeach or some Mikdash, some holy place that Yitzchak set up, and therefore sacrificing over there is called Vayizbach Lehayah of Yitzchak. If you look in the Ramban, other Mefarshim, they have different theories for what this means, but I think the most simple meaning is Lehe, like we have El Baisel. The God of doesn't mean necessarily a different God or even a different meaning of the God, but it's a place where the God rests, a place where the God is, which was established by Yitzchak. That's called the Yizbach Zvachim Lehe of Yitzchak. And then he has a dream, and this is actually attested to practice in the ancient world, and I think that the same story of the This is, of course, corresponds to the story of Yaakov in his first travel from Beer Sheva, where he found a place and slept there and had a dream. There was a common practice for someone to go to a temple, go to a god, and then the god would come to him in a dream that night to tell him to answer his request or tell him a message. And that seems to be the structure of the story and many other stories in Tanakh too. You talk about Shlomo, for example, who went and sacrificed in Gibeon and had a dream and so on. So he has a dream or a vision, Maris HaLaila, a night vision. And the dream begins with a call and response, Yaakov, Yaakov, Hineni. That's a formula of how God begins talking to a person very often. Yaakov, Yaakov is like calling out, Yaakov, Yaakov, where are you? And says, here am I, here I am. Of course, this doesn't literally mean he's looking for him, but it's like the way in which the meeting always starts. And then he presents himself. He self-identifies, says, Anoichi, I am who? The God of your father. So, Yitzchak, right? Literally your father. And he answers his question. We didn't have the question, we didn't have the request, but we can understand from the answer of God what Yaakov's question was, or his request, or his fear. And his fear was that he's going down to Egypt now and going to be stuck there. And of course, he's going down because he can't really continue to live in Canaan. There seems to not be enough food. But he seems to be afraid. And God is answering him, don't be afraid. Altir, don't be afraid. And not only don't be afraid, just like there's not the first time we have this language, Altir, we had Altira Avram and the Brit Ben Absurim. And I think another one by Yitzchak, if I remember, Altir. And what he's saying is not only don't be afraid, you will be saved, you will also accomplish great things. You will also become a great nation in Mitzrayim. So it's not only negative saving from the fears that he had for going down to Mitzrayim, but also positive, giving him a blessing that he will become a great nation. Of course, that's followed up on in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, where we say, Vnei Yisrael Pori Vayeshritzi, they actually did prosper, and at least in the sense of having many children and becoming a great nation, at least in the count and having many people. Of course, also became a great nation in the sense of greatness, but that's another discussion. And then he says, "I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will bring you back up, and Yosef will put his hands on your eyes." But this is also corresponds to what we had Yaakov hearing from God in Beer Sheva, where he said, I will be with you and I will keep you. Same thing. So there's a more stronger language here. I will go down with you. Remember the difference in going down and Masa doesn't say God will travel. Well, maybe God doesn't live anywhere really, or maybe in some sense, ideally, God is staying there, but he will go down with Yaakov to Mitzrayim and protect him there and also bring him back up. And Yosef will put his hands on his eyes. This seems to be reference to him dying while Yosef is protecting him, while Yosef is over him. And this is was Yaakov's great fear that he will die without Yosef, right? He will die. He's saying, no, you will not go down to your son, Ovel Sheola. You will have die as a father dies with his son surrounding him, putting his hands in his eyes. Might be a literal thing that people used to do, or somewhat still do, or it's just a symbol of saying that you will close your eyes with Yosef by you. And that's so that's the dream, and Yaakov being comforted or promised or becoming happy by this dream follows through. He stands up, go from Beer Sheva, and then we have an interesting switch of words, switch of name. The children of Israel carry their father Jacob and their children, and all with the wagons that Pari sent. So here we have like the actor being the children, not Yaakov. It's interesting, the previous story that Yaakov is going down to Beer Sheva, but his children are taken down to Mitzrayim. Might be an important distinction there. And they take everything and they go down to Mitzrayim. So that's the first two pieces of this chapter. Then what this chapter is, we have a genealogy. This genealogy corresponds, of course, to the genealogy of Yishmael, of Esav that we had before. This is the only genealogy that we have of Yaakov's, of all of Yaakov's children and grandchildren in this book. Of course, later in Shemos and Bamidbar, we have much longer and more detailed genealogies, but here we do have the basic genealogy of Yaakov divided by his wives, right? His four wives and each of their children with the numbers, with the counts of how many of them. I'm not going to repeat all the names and the counts, but that's what we have. And we have also the children of Yosef and his wife. It's the only one actually who has his wife's name. Besides for Yaakov himself, right? Yaakov has his four wives and their children. But Yosef has the same thing. So Yosef, and as we know later, Yosef's children are counted as if they're one of Yaakov's children, and the same way he gets his name of his wife and the two children that he was born in Egypt, and they're counted amongst the 70 total descendants of Yaakov. Of course, the full number of Yaakov is 70, but that's not our problem right now. So this is the full list of the descendants of Yaakov, and its like title is the children of Yaakov who are coming to Mitzrayim. Okay, and now we have two more parts of the story in this chapter. And as I said, the chapter ends in the middle of a story. I don't know why, but we'll continue in the next chapter. The first part of the story is how Yaakov is arriving to Mitzrayim. So we had, in some sense, the preparations of Yaakov, like both his children coming to him and telling him that Yosef is alive and he's invited them to Mitzrayim. And the, we could say, spiritual or divine preparations of Yaakov, he goes to Beersheba to sort of get the permission or the affirmation or the blessing of God in order that he can go down to Mitzrayim safely. And now we have the other side of that, how he comes to Mitzrayim and what kind of preparations are made in Mitzrayim and with Yosef so he can arrive in Mitzrayim safely. So one thing is, and it's very interesting, I think this is probably significant, he sends Yehuda before him, to Yosef, to show him the way, to guide him, to be a guide, to he should come to Goshen, which is where Yosef has promised them to be able to stay. That was a good place, the place, area, or land called Goshen in Mitzrayim. That seems to be important. Of course, it can't be just like, okay, we need to know how they knew the way, because obviously there are some roads or directions. I don't know. They knew the way. That's not the problem. There must be some significance in putting Yehuda as the guide here. Of course, we know. Just like we had the whole long story about Yehuda in the middle of the story of Yosef, the story of Yehuda and his wives and his children. Even here in the genealogy, we had a small note about Yehuda's two children who died in Canaan and the other children who were left. So there seems to be something significant with giving Yehuda a leadership role here in the story, although this is not really his story, it's Yosef's story. Second thing is, we have Yosef coming to meet his father. So Yosef, yes, he harnesses his Merkava, his chariot. Very important, this is the chariot like we had in the beginning, when Yosef became the vice king, receives a royal chariot, and he takes his chariot and he goes Vayal, he goes up to his father Israel to Goshen, and he is seen to him, he appears to him. I think this term is interesting, Vayera. I think in the entire Torah it doesn't say Vayera on another person. It's always Vayera Hashem, only on Yosef. And he falls on his neck and he cries more, or a lot. Vayef cries a lot. This is the scene of Yosef meeting Yaakov after all these years, and Yosef is the one who speaks here. Yaakov is the one who speaks. Yosef doesn't speak. Yosef just cries. Doesn't say exactly who cried, but we could assume that it was Yosef crying. How we could assume that? Because Yosef is the one who's crying in the whole story. Keeps on crying, so probably Yosef is the one crying when he sees his father. That was his response. But Yisrael has words to say. He says, and these are his words: "Amusa hapam, I can die now after I've seen your face that you're alive." Very interesting. You're alive, and I can die. But this is, of course, corresponds to what he said, that he will not die happily, he will die sadly, will go down to Sheol sadly. And here he's saying, now I can die. In other words, now I can die not sadly, not going to Sheol, or not going to Sheol sadly. I can die seeing that my son is alive. That's called dying well, dying happily, which is another way of saying having had a happy life. So that's the second important note of Yaakov coming to Mitzrayim. Now we have the third thing, which is a story that continues into the next chapter, which is how, not specifically Yaakov, but also Yaakov, but first all the other brothers coming to meet Pare and to sort of settle their fears of coming to settle in Mitzrayim, where they will settle and how. And it seems like some manipulation was still needed to get Pare to agree to them living in Goshen, not to manipulate them, not to use them for his purposes. So this was this we get the beginning of that story here. Yosef tells his brothers and his father's household, or whichever that means, maybe the other servants that were there. He will go to Pare and tell Pare that his brother and his father came to him. So of course Yosef is very important, but still Pare is over him, and there's some things he needs permission for them. And now the pasuk gives us a note. It tells us these people, Yosef's brothers, they were shepherds. Now you should know that Egypt hated shepherds. Or we know that in a second. They brought along their flocks, their sheep, everything they had. As we said, they came literally to move here. This is they're going to live here. And he told them, when Pare speaks to you and asks them what's your job, what's your occupation, you will tell Pare, we are men of livestock, we're men of flock, of mikneh. This is our occupation from when we're young. This is always what you do. It's interesting because we literally had Yosef being young, Vuhunar, Vuhuda, Yosef. So when they were young, they did this. This is also our ancestors, what they did. And this is, Yosef is telling his brother, you should tell this to Paray in order that he keeps doing Goy Hashem, because Mitzrayim have a Te'eva, they hate people who pasture, they hate shepherds. Therefore, you should tell them that in order, so in order, in other words, it's true, it seems like it's true, so we should tell them that because it's true, but also you should tell them that so you can get the correct response out of Paray, because Mitzrayim don't want to have shepherds next to them. That seems to be the context. And then in the next chapter, we'll have them actually coming to Paray and telling this and the rest of the story. And I don't know why they cut the chapter here, but I will just follow it for now.